I'm Matt Hoffman, an educator at the National Museum of American History, and this is History Explorer, a podcast that lets you investigate questions about history along with our staff. Today, we're going to look at some of the experiments of one of America's earliest scientists, Benjamin Franklin. We're with Stephen Madewell, an interpretive exhibits coordinator at the Lemelson Center for Invention and Innovation. Steve, can you set the scene for us? What got Franklin interested in science, and what course did that take?
Well, Franklin, as a colonist in Philadelphia, and what Franklin called the kind of the middle class colonist, he really aspired to be part of more of the gentleman class that they would have had in London. And during the period of the 1740s, that elite class generally had an interest in science, and he had always had this interest in exploring the natural world. Then science seemed to be a really good outlet for him. And Franklin began very humbly by just writing a lot of his observations and trying to share them with members of the Royal Society in London and the Royal Society's equivalent in Paris. Through these interactions, many members of the Royal Society began to trust Franklin as a partner on the other side of the Atlantic when it came to tasks such as collecting different varieties of plants that were native to the New World, that were native to the American colonies, and shipping them back to London, where then botanists and researchers would then categorize those plants.
And Franklin was in turn interested in what they were doing over in England, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, Franklin was sending back plants, and then, he was also requesting that they send them all of their scientific journals and all their writings and kind of the cutting-edge research that they were doing. And that's really how Franklin got interested in electricity. Collinson sent back to Franklin all kinds of kind of the latest research in what we would now call electrical science.
What was the kind of first set of equipment? Like, what really got Franklin started with the electrical experiments?
It was very basic stuff. Believe it or not, it was just a 3-foot-long glass tube that was a few inches in diameter, kind of like it almost looked like a glass baseball bat, and with some very simple instructions on how to rub cloth on the glass to generate a static electric charge. It's not unlike, if you rub a piece of wool against a balloon, you'll generate a static charge. And now we teach that to second and third graders. But actually, in the 1740s, this was fascinating science. And through a very simple experiment of just generating a static charge on a tube was all it took to get Franklin really fully engaged in electricity and wanting to know more. So from these very simple experiments, Franklin decided that he was going to try to replicate a lot of what the European experimenters were doing. So he would get their research and then figure out a way to conduct that same experiment on his own in Philadelphia, and then record his own observations.
Was this usual at the time for Franklin to be interested in science, or was that something that was kind of widespread?
Yeah, this was pretty unusual. This was... it seems even hard to believe now, but at the time there was a kind of a class structure in place, and as a colonist, that put Franklin with all colonists kind of as a second class citizen. So it was really believed that the colonists and the people in America were just not mentally capable of doing science or being scientists.
Franklin proved them wrong, right? Like, can you tell us a little bit about what experiments he actually created and what was discovered because of those?
Yeah, Franklin. So building off of this view that Americans were kind of backward and rubes, incapable of being leaders in science, Franklin really turned that on its ear by replicating a lot of those experiments and then drawing his own conclusions, which were different than what the Europeans had come up with. It was an audacious act for an American colonist with no formal scientific training to actually contradict what these kind of highly esteemed European experimenters were doing. And really, one of the early people that Franklin went against was the official court electrician of France. And it took a few years of Franklin kind of consistently coming up with better theories and putting them together. and kind of forming a larger, more cohesive theory of how static electricity works before people really began to take him seriously in Europe. But when we really see this is a kind of a seismic shift, both in the thinking about what colonists might be capable of, science in the American colonies, and also Franklin's reputation, really happened around Franklin's kite experiment and his proving that lightning is in fact an electrical phenomenon. And Franklin, through that, was able to put together kind of all of the thousands of experiments that he had conducted over a pretty intense few years of time, from the mid 1740s to the early 1750s. Really finding practical ways of storing electricity using a device called the Leyden jar, which is a basic, very basic capacitor. A Dutch experimenter named Peter von Musschenbroek actually discovered invented the Leyden jar by accident by an experiment trying to electrify water. And that experiment resulted in Musschenbroek getting shocked pretty severely. But I don't think Musschenbroek really understood the importance of that discovery. And Franklin did. So Franklin took that, he read Musschenbroek's papers on this, on the Leyden jar, and he immediately realized that this could be really, really important for scientific research because it provided a way for scientists to capture electricity and to store it. Really, no one was even daring to try to research that at the time. It would have been a crazy idea to really audacious to try to think that you could somehow store this strange kind of mystical liquid. The end result of all of this is that by proving that lightning was an electrical phenomenon, proving what it was, and then showing that he had some level of control over it through Leyden jars and through his experiments, it really made Franklin kind of an international sensation. Other historians have said that Franklin was probably, as far as the most widely known name worldwide at the time. Franklin published all of his papers, all of his experiments into a book form called the Franklin's Observations and Experiments with Electricity. And it sold out through four editions. We're talking Harry Potter of the 1750s, right? So everybody, everyone with an interest in science was really replicating Franklin's experiments.
So Franklin's clearly very influential in science, but he's also influential in the development of the United States. How did those two kind of work together?
Yeah, this is the coolest thing for me personally, is that Franklin is known for so many things as an inventor, a statesman, a printer, a scientist. But it turns out that Franklin's fame as a scientist really opened the doors for so many of those other things. For the American Revolution, Franklin tried to meet with the King of England and other British leadership to kind of patch up the relationships between the crown, the British crown, and the colonies. And then later, when that wasn't possible, Franklin was the choice to be the America's first ambassador, and he was the ambassador of France.
You've done a lot of research on the history of Franklin and his experiments, but you've also done a lot of work translating Franklin's experiments into things that you could recreate using modern day items. We're hoping you could kind of tell us a little bit about those and what kind of historical context they had. And I know that Franklin was also quite, he had a reputation as a statesman, as a scientist, but also as a practical joker.
Yes.
I was hoping you could kind of put all those three things together.
in recreating Roger Sherman, who's the curator of modern physics here at the Museum of American History, and I got together and really wanted to replicate a series of these experiments that Franklin wrote about and just see what kind of results we could get. But what I quickly realized is that Franklin wasn't going out and spending a fortune on custom equipment and, fancy scientific instruments. He was really using a lot of the stuff that he already had at home or things that he could find locally and repurpose. For us, that's a great example of really of creativity and being innovative right there. And so we realized that, with the materials that we have now, we could really replicate these experiments using modern stuff. And you can find that a really wide selection of Franklin's experiments can be done in a classroom or at home just using soda bottles and nails and aluminum foil and plastic tubes and balloons. They're really amazing. It's very powerful at getting across the idea that, you know, you don't need a lot of fancy equipment to do these experiments and to make your own observations and to really have fun engaging in the both the inventive and the scientific process.
And one that's especially fun to recreate is the Ring of Fire. Can you tell us a little bit about that one?
The Ring of Fire, it's always a crowd pleaser, and it's it proves that some things that were fun 250 years ago still can be very much fun today. And what this the Ring of Fire activity involves is using a Leyden jar, which we talked about being a fairly simple but yet very important early scientific instrument. So what we do to make the Leyden jar is just take a bottle of water, any kind, put a nail through the top of the jar so that the nail is going through the top and touching the water inside the jar, and just simply wrap some aluminum foil around the bottom half of the jar. And that's the Leyden jar. And you can charge your Leyden jar up using a balloon or a plastic tube or really anything that any source of a static electric charge. I mean, and that's enough to really have some fun with. But the way that they call it the Ring of Fire, because what Franklin did and what we're doing in the museum now is we just get as many volunteers as we can to form a giant circle with everyone holding hands. And then we have the two people actually holding on to the Leyden jar. So when they complete the circuit by touching that nail on the top of the jar, an electric shock actually goes through all the way around the group, through the entire group of people, instantaneously. So this was a joke that was fun, but it could also be really really serious science. The goal of this experiment that they would set up was trying to find out just how fast electricity travels.
And Franklin, he was doing these in the mid 18th century, but did he also do experiments like this in the later 18th century when he was a statesman in France?
Yes, Franklin worked very closely with many of the people in the French leadership, the French power structure, to secure money for the Continental Army, gunpowder, all kinds of supplies that the American army needed, but to really get the French Navy on board and to get the French Navy involved, Franklin knew he was going to have to talk to the King of France himself. It took him several months, even for Franklin, who was a really good negotiator and schmoozer. It took him a long time, but he finally got an audience with the king. And when he did, Franklin really wanted to talk about securing the French Navy. More funding for the troops, but before they got down to business, the king really wanted to see some of these experiments that he had heard about, and so Franklin set up a demonstration for the king. Franklin writes about enlisting 40 French soldiers. I am imagining them to be some really, really guys you don't want to mess with, big, burly, bearded men, and he gets them in a circle in front of the king and discharges a Leyden jar through the group of 40 soldiers, where in the museum we might do a very small charge, a very subtle charge. Franklin did not go easy on them. He really lit them up with a very powerful charge. The king writes about it, fortunately for us, he wrote that it was just this hilarious moment when he has 40 of his soldiers pirouetting like ballerinas in front of him because of this giant electric charge that Dr. Franklin has just passed through them. So while we can't definitively say that there was a connection between this shocking incident, we do of course know that Franklin was able to get the French Navy on the colonists' behalf. So it was it comes back to Franklin playing this pivotal role in the American Revolution, and that what opened up those opportunities for him was his fame and respect as a scientist.
So think about the science that surrounds you. What's the history behind it? What experiments were used for its discovery? And can you recreate those using everyday items? If you figure anything out, let us know at thinkfinity@si.edu. Until then, thanks for listening to History Explorer, and thank you, Steve, for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you, Matt.
You can find more History Explorer podcasts on our webpage, americanhistory.si.edu/podcasts, or simply by subscribing to us on iTunes. This podcast is made possible from a generous grant from the Verizon Foundation. Music for this episode from the _Orchestra, which you can find at the_Orchestra.com.
This podcast is made possible through a generous grant from the Verizon Foundation.